This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Some paths to comfort. Sometimes the obstacle we must overcome is the path itself. Yes, Sid? What do you think?
Well, I haven't been asked that question before, but that takes me back to 3 years meditating in a Zen monastery in Los Angeles, where I worked during the day. It really helped center my thinking and actually replace my thinking with maybe a more peaceful way to live.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are? Okay. Tell us a little bit more who you are. Who is Vegan Sid?
Well, my first identity, if I think about myself at all, is that I'm a person in recovery. And when I was 34 years old in Los Angeles, as a person who was suicidal and just ready to leave the earth, a series of steps brought me to a program. I have 40 years sober.
Wow.
I want to go ahead and answer maybe a future question, if you don't mind, and that is I don't ever want to leave my roots, where there were times when I would sleep with my dog in a car. I want to stay in touch mm-hmm. with the people in our city mm-hmm. who need us the most.
Yes. And a little bit I do note about you, Vegan Sid, is you are a personal care assistant for a handicapped gentleman.
That's right. And my friend Roy is 87 now, and he served in the Air Force. What we love about him, since I'm not related to him, but want to care for him in the best way I can, because I used to be a CNA and take care of people in their homes, is that he helped us so much with my number one passion, and that is animal rescue.
Yes. And may I ask your age?
My age is 74, baby, and I'm a Virgo.
So we have a 74-year-old senior citizen, if you will, who is a vegetarian, who is animal rights activist, who works with homelessness, and is a caretaker for a disabled gentleman. You rock, Sid. You really
well,
do.
I love Grace.
So, this disability awareness show for the rest of this month, and I think we have one more show in August for the summer anyway, is how poverty issues in the community disable and handicap the actual community and how it impacts Portland and the community. So I wanted to stay with that theme through the summer because a community itself is handicapped and disabled when we do not have the proper systems in place. And there's a lot of work to be done here in Portland. However, there's a lot of work that has been done. So this isn't a show about griping about the problem. It's actually drawing on people who are working on the front lines like you are. And I know I do too, Sid, as you know. And we're trying to come up with solutions and continuing to add solutions to the problem. But we have a lot of problems right now with homelessness. Something's going on at City Hall right today, trying to sweep the homeless off the street, et cetera, et cetera. And frankly, I get both sides, and I know you do too. But I'm an advocate for the homeless. I also experienced homelessness when I was younger, so it's not a fun place to be. All right, so more about what you do, and how can you give specifics or something maybe you want to bring to the mic today?
Oh, well, maybe a couple of anecdotes. For example, excuse me, I go downtown probably every day to go to a meeting, a senior exercise, or workshops. And so I got to know the people downtown. There were people who asked for money, and I guess these guys got together in Portland downtown and said, if you see the little old lady with the hat, be sure and if you ask her for money, tell them you're going to spend it on a vegetarian lunch. I love humor. I'm going to, if I can plug Playback Theater, it's a wonderful place to go and learn improv with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm learning to, interact with people. The other story is that I heard on NPR that there's a guy in New York at Central Park, and he had a part-time job, and he couldn't get enough money for rent, so we went to the park and had a sign that said, $1 for a joke. If you don't laugh, I'll refund your buck. And pretty soon, he was able to leave the part-time job because people loved his gig. So I went downtown to especially the young people with dogs on the sidewalk. I said, hey, you're not playing a musical instrument. Why don't you do this? And I printed out from the internet a lot of one-liners and made little signs for them. A lot of them loved it, and they did it. So downtown Portland for a while, that was last summer, had a dollar for a joke.
Well, and that is, and so many of the homeless and the street kids and the street people and whatnot are handicapped. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to give the Society of Physicians with Disabilities stated the difference, handicap versus disability, because somebody came up to me, years ago actually at this point, and said, are you disabled or handicapped? And I thought about it and I thought, both. How can you be both? And there was quite a dialogue around that. And I thought, so a disability is a condition caused by an accident, trauma, genetics, or disease which may limit a person's mobility, hearing, vision, speech, or mental function. Some people have more than one disability. A handicap is physical or attitudinal constraint that is impossible, or that is imposed, rather, upon a person regardless of whether the person has a disability. A set of stairs would be a handicap for a person with a disability who uses a wheelchair, for instance. So if you see how intertwined those two definitions from physicians with disabilities is, and how we're looking at so many levels of handicap and disabled people in this city who are marginalized, oppressed, so on. And that would be all of us on some level. Everybody, in my opinion, has some level of disablement or handicap because we're humans. So, you know, and addiction, you had mentioned addiction. And addiction is one of those invisible handicaps. I have MS, and so I had an invisible handicap until I got into a walker and a wheelchair. So it's amazing.
I wonder if I could mention something that might be playing a little bit of a devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of my careers for 10 years was I had to learn a new career after my husband died and my mom died. And I came back to Oregon from North Carolina sober and started all over. And that was learning to be a caretaker. And I went to nursing school and became a CNA. And so I worked from the bottom up. And as I got better and better at it, I got all the way to Alzheimer's care in people's homes with my little dog, and then hospice care. So my heart can take anything. My heart can get inside anybody. Mm-hmm. And if I can just be present. But here's the devil's advocate part of it. I also saw completely healthy people, and one of them whose couch I slept on temporarily, talk herself into being ill so that she could get all the services until she actually became ill, and she talked herself into it. So I wanted to plug something that's absolutely free. Mm-hmm. When I talk to people about, hey, you know, maybe we could exercise a little more, the AMA came out with this huge pronouncement. We found the best way to overcome depression. Exercise. Oh, I said, let me write that down.
Yes.
So we've got a little bit of that available more for free, parks and recreations and all that sort of thing. Also, how about this thing is from Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. It's called 21-Day Kickstart. If you can get to a computer, it's an absolutely free support group that will help you through finding more veggies and fruit. Mm-hmm. Now, there's something new coming up at, what is that hospital up in Northwest, where I go exercise?
This would be Good Sam's.
Good Sam, thank you.
Good Sam's. That's where my clinic
is. Well, I think on Mondays, this nurse has got together some people that are bringing a little farmer's market, which is nothing but fruit and veggies for the people who can't access those anywhere else. And this, to me, looks like a wonderful sign for the stepping toward those who want to get well.
Yeah. Yes, and attitudinal is so much a part of. I know when I first was diagnosed with MS, I had it since in the 20s, but I didn't really recognize any predictable or recognizable problems until I started. I chucked myself into the side of a building because the whole left side of my body went numb. And so, of course, I went and I got a diagnosis over a lot of time. And they diagnosed, okay, you have MS and so on and so on. And I was under Dr. Roy Swink, who has a lot of work out, or I think he might have passed by now. But he got me on the Swink diet for MS, and it made a tremendous difference. And it was a lot of fruits and vegetables and exercise and whatnot. And I think that made a tremendous difference because I'm also 70, and I am doing pretty well considering I do walk with a walker and I have a wheelchair because I can't, you know, it gets worse and worse. But my attitude literally keeps me floating above it all. I really don't like to emphasize my MS. I don't claim it. It is what it is. I got what I got. I might as well have it rather than somebody else. You know, that's the Zen. I'm also very Zen, all that stuff. But I did want to address a recent statistic that came out from the American with Disabilities Act, ADA, 58 million persons with disabilities in the United States. Of these, over 38 million have a severe disability. And there is a tremendous amount of discrimination, and there's a need for mandating equal opportunity for both employment and public services. And that segues into an announcement I have for anybody to get over. On July the 26th, the ADA anniversary celebration is at Portland City Hall. And that is an event that I recommend people go to because it's the Portland Commission on Disability and Connecting Communities Coalition. And they're hosting the 23rd anniversary of the Americans with Disability at Portland City Hall, and there's food. It starts at 4, and it goes till 6:30 p.m., and the theme is ADA Moving Forward, and that's pretty much the theme of this show, too, is how can we move forward, because there are a tremendous amount of problems with that accessibility. I run into accessibility issues all the time when I'm in my scooter, which is also a wheelchair. Good example is when the post office moved from the PSU, Salmon Street, whatever, and they went down to First Street or Second Street, whatever. And I went down to get stamps, and I was like, oh, it's going to be so nice to have a new post office. There was a glass door with no handicap button. Post office.
I've been there. I was just there, and I remember that.
Now, I don't know if they have the button on now. I hope they do, because this is illegal. Then I was sitting out in the rain, and somebody opened the door, which they always do, but I have to sit and wait for somebody to open the door. And then I went down this ramp, this long ramp, and there was a second door. So I had double inaccessibility issues at the United States Post Office. Not okay. Not okay. This is illegal. And these are the kinds of things that are still in the Portland area that need to be brought out, which is the reason for the show. So, Sid, I'm going to do a small station ID. You're listening to KABU Disability Awareness with your host, Gracie Reed. My guest is Vegan Sid. And so, Sid, more about what you're up to and what do you see as part of the solution or some of the solution to this very involved, subject, disability awareness.
Well, because I've been focusing on animal issues a lot, I look to you and can learn from you because you're more networked on the level that we're talking about, and I want to learn more. But I read something in The New Yorker, if I can bring up, that really blew my mind, and it was about what they called then was called the wet houses. They said housing is number one. That is the number one solution. from when it worked in Washington, D.C., and when it worked in Seattle. So I was reading the article, and I liked the New Yorker because it has one of the best fact checkers.
Yes.
And I grew up with that. I grew up with newspaper people, and so I really respect publications you can rely on now that we're in cyberspace. But so what it was they provided housing and a room for each of the people who had to go to all these different social services, and a lot of them were duplicated. And it was a real mess. But if they got housing first, they got a room with a little refrigerator. They were allowed 2 beers. And once they had, and then whatever welfare they were on, whatever assistance, they paid a certain percentage toward their rent, and there was a supervisor in the building.
Yes.
85% of them recovered from severe addictions. And it was a monumental story about what comes first, and that's housing. Then they didn't have to run all over the place duplicating services. They felt proud about being able to wash and to go out and look for a job. And they had a place where someone could reach them. Now, I had a question. I've been to Sisters of the Road, and I got their little coupons to give to people for food. Those are $2 each. It's a little blue card. Mm-hmm. When I ride the MAX, I saw a poster, and it said, get your medallions. Medallions are to give to people for any kind of service that anyone's qualified for on 211. I've asked people about it. I asked Sisters of the Roads, and it's some kind of fandom medallion. We can't nail it down. If it's still being offered, I'd be willing to invest in those.
This is a lot of what I'm running into, too, as well, Sid. There seems to be a lot of committees and subcommittees and executive committees, and there's just a lot of that seated pretty much at City Hall and the places that you would find that sort of thing seated. And yet it seems like you'll read or hear about something that's like the medallions and whatnot, and you go searching for them, and they're just not there. So I think what, and we absolutely have way too much, we have way too much duplication, which is a waste of finances, money. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are in trouble here, and not only in Portland, but nationally. So obviously this is one of the things that you and I can, and people that are listening that are involved with disability awareness issues and want to help on some level, definitely gently in a Zen way. I believe in protesting. I'm an activist. Yeah. I was over at Occupy and at the KABU booth, which is where I saw you. And so I believe in protesting in a peaceful way. However, I think we have to come, all of us that are aware, we have to have a groundswell of unity and oneness and come at these issues in a succinct but gentle and sweet way. Because, you know, nonviolent communication, Dr. Marshall Rosenberg put it this way, everybody's in tragic expression of unmet needs. But the people that have the most unmet needs are the homeless. Are you not handicapped and disabled automatically if you're homeless? Yes, you are. And people aren't linking that, which is a lot of what I want to do on this show. And I see you have street
roots. I'm going to plug you. But before that, we're amassing our facts and our greater understanding of problems. 50% of homeless people are mentally disabled. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge problem. I've talked to people, and I love the street root vendors. Yes. There's a fellow on Tuesday behind the building where I often see you, who's dressed up so nicely in a suit. And he said, they're encouraging us vendors to be more, presentable. And he said, I personally say nothing, and people will walk up to me, and that way they don't feel pressured. And I said, that's fascinating. So I'm interested in how people get along day by day with what they can do to earn a living. And he's now able to put some money toward his education. takes a lot of patience, and thank heavens it's good weather. Well, yes. I called one of the people at Street Roots because I really love how it is coming along and how they represent the people who actually are homeless. Oh, and and what should I see but a picture of Grace growing Medicine Reed, contributing columnist, and the headline is New Column to Address Disability Issues Among the Disadvantaged. And yes. I think it's a lovely photograph.
Thank you, Sid, for the plug, and I'll tell you how this came about. My interview last time I was at this last month was with Israel Bearer, executive producer. I want to say he's the director of Street Roots, and he was a wonderful guest, obviously. And as a result, after the show, I said, "Well, I wonder if you guys would like a column on disability awareness, what we're doing over here at KABU." Joanne Zoll, who is the chief editor over there, got in touch with me. He said, "Why don't we just have an ongoing regular column on disability awareness here at Street Roots?" And so I'm linking KABU and Street Roots, and it's such a beautiful marriage because KABU and Street Roots are so involved in working with the community on these issues and trying to do what we all can do to help move this along, right? And so that's how that came about, and I'm very grateful to be able to write a column on a regular basis for Street Roots. And oh, please buy a copy. It's only a dollar, and 75 cents of every dollar you spend goes back to help the homeless. Most of the vendors are supporting themselves with that, and so they will not be homeless. And I buy my Street Roots pretty much up at Safeway on Jefferson Southwest because I live in that area. And there's so many people that are so afraid of the Street Roots vendors. And there's that attitudinal bit that I know you and I can change as we go out and do our work and on this, in the newspaper and on the broadcast. It's like, what? I don't get that. I'm not afraid of people, but... So I think dressing up in suits, that would probably do it.
And maybe just waiting a while and see if someone come towards you. I have a question of you as a loyal fan of yours. And on this program, will you be able to have people calling in?
Yes, at some point I would like to set that up. I did kind of a pilot show with Marianne Stupa Wallace on being a helper. She's been a helper with her brother for a long, long time. And then we did the last show with Israel Bearer. You're coming in on this show. So it's a rather new show, and so is Street Roots. So I thought after we get a bit established, meaning I'm going to do one more show, and then we're going to start setting it up for questions and answers. But I have to consult with Mike, my board guy. Thank you, Mike, for helping us out here. There's so many people that helped me. I couldn't do this show without Mike over there doing the board work. Judy, who is actually waiting outside in a van, who got me over here, physically got me over here. And friends like you that step up to the mic and help us out. So, I mean, it takes a village, seriously. Mm-hmm. And support KABU in any way you can. We're in constant need of donations. Street Roots is in constant need. But find those little places that are truly helping. I would highly recommend don't form any more committees, subcommittees, executive committees. Let's get away from all that. When I go over, I'm going over representing KABU, or at least this show, to this celebration that's happening on the 26th at Portland City Hall. And one of the things I'm going to address is this business of yet another executive committee was formed. And I feel like this is actually bogging the whole work down. I know program as well, but in program it says, AA program for instance, NA program for instance, it says, keep it simple. And I think we need to start thinking in terms of how we can keep it simple and come at things in a simple and yet powerful way. Because we don't need it, the problems with disability and poverty. Poverty is disability. Homelessness is disability and handicap for the community itself. It really is. And that's a lot of what I want to keep linking that, because people don't tend to link that. People tend to put things in little boxes. And it's not a box, it's a circle, and we're all there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Mm-hmm. So we have about 5 more minutes, and what I'd like to do is, what is your future and ongoing work and the challenges and how people can reach you?
Me personally?
Mm-hmm.
My life has been a series of great surprises, and I attribute that to a program of recovery, and that is in our 11th step, it says, get tuned in more to the power that's greater than myself, which to me is vague. My name is Vegan Sid, not vague, but I love that you mentioned me at all.
Yes.
And so what I usually do is write down a list of goals, and they're very well-meaning, and then higher power takes me by the scruff of the neck, and who knows, I'm over somewhere else, absolutely amazed at what I'm supposed to do next. I feel that I'm with some people who are doing video, and this one woman, Courtney Scott, is doing a full-length video of animal rights and the history of people and their relationship with animals. She's here in Portland, and she has a website, Courtney Scott. And I'd like to continue working with her. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of interviewing of people, and what I learned from Grace was we need a really good microphone.
Yes. Well, I'm about to purchase what KBOO uses. I took some remote broadcasting training. Thank you. And those are all volunteers. This beautiful young man taught me how to do that. And I'm going to learn how to edit, and I'll be doing some remotes as well in the future. And this is all we can do. You know, we just need to train ourselves, continue to reach out and find ways in which we can contribute to what we care about, our passion. And my passion has always been, my particular passion has always been with at-risk youth, and I work with the youth on the streets. But I also work, I used to work in the juvenile justice system. I was a teacher in the juvenile justice system with the RAD unit. While I was getting my degree, I have a master's in conflict resolution and restorative justice. So that's my base compassion. We thank you, Sid, for coming out. Really, really appreciate you coming and being a part of this show. How can people reach you? Do you have a phone number? Or?
Oh, please. VeganSid@gmail.com.
So if you want to know more about what Sid is up to and what she's about and to get in touch with her, go to that website. Say it again, please.
It's an email, VeganSid@gmail.com. Thank you, Grace, for all you do. I see a beautiful aura around her. You can't see it on the radio.
Thank you, Vegan Sid, and there's a double aura around you. We are in a mutual love fest here with my dear friend Vegan Sid and myself and Mike and everybody at the studio and everybody in the city. I love everybody here. I'm going to close with another statement out of 8,000 Paths to Comfort, written by David Baird. When there is a great doubt, there will be a great awakening. Where there is a great doubt, there will be a great awakening. Where there is small doubt, there will be a small awakening. Where there is no doubt, there will be no awakening. So we need to ride on that wave and change this. Thank you so much.
first annual Jim Pepper Native Arts Festival will take place Wednesday, August 7th and Saturday, August 10th at Park Rose High School Performing Arts Center, 12003 Northeast Shaver Street, Portland. Jim Pepper was born in Salem, Oregon and lived in the Portland area for many years. A jazz saxophone composer and singer of Native American ancestry, he became a pioneer of fusion jazz in the late 1960s. This event is sponsored by KBOO Community Radio and the Oregon Cultural Heritage Commission. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
My guest today is Shannon Bonet. She has just completed writing a book titled Mommy, Are You Listening? If you were to meet Shannon Bonet on the street, you would find her to be very personable, very outgoing, very pleasant. But if you were to understand more completely, which is, I think, part of the reason she wrote this book, you would find that her life has not always been that idyllic, sort of sweet, easygoing life that she may be able to live today. And she is in the studio with me. Shannon, thank you for coming and doing this interview.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about Mommy, Are You Listening?
Well, I think that I began this crusade of mine a couple years ago, and I decided to finally sit down, I think, and cure myself of some really, really painful memories that I had, in the hopes that people that may read it or people that may get a chance to see it or know about.